Hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Infamous Eternal Champions Travel to Adepticon Kick-Ass 2024 Super Mega Episode. I'm Jeremy. I'm here with my most awesome co-hosts, who also went to Adepticon, Aaron and Kenny. Aaron, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Kenny, are you also doing pretty good?
I mean, I don't have the champion's glow that Aaron has, but yes.
You son of a bitch. I told you. Oh my god, you're banned. Vetoed.
Oh, vetoed. I'm immune.
So we all traveled to Adepticon, and we made it on day one. So how do you want to dive into this? What do you want to do here? We have a whole, like, 2,700 days worth of Adepticon to talk about.
Yeah, they were pretty long days. None of us played in the threes. Or no, you played in the threes, right?
You son of a bitch. I played in the threes.
So let's talk about the threes first, then. Let's want to dive in with the day one of judgment. I want to hear what happened in the threes. Like, what'd you play? who'd you play? And how'd you do?
All right. So when I arrived, I had given up on Torin. I'm just sick of it. I did not want to play. No. Incorrect.
Tomas.
I was playing Tomas.
Yes.
And it just wasn't doing it for me. I don't know, man. And I was looking around and I was going, you know what might be cool is if my entire affiliation had the Ring of Teleport. So I was like, fuck this shit. I'm going Krognar.
Sexy.
So yeah, for threes. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I dove into threes with fire that I think no one had seen before. I was done, I think, the fastest on almost every single game. But I won the first two, and I lost the bottom three, ended up somewhere in the bottom of the pack. So my warband I went with was, I'm gonna have to look it up for you.
Sure.
Hold.
Continue judgment to hold.
Threes. Yeah. Hold.
And we're holding.
Show games of Jeremy. So I definitely had Fazeal, which is, you know, standard, as far as I understand it. How the hell do I even find that?
What your list was?
Yeah.
I think what it's you terrible. Can do is here. I can pull it up for you. Let me get to this for you.
It was Krul, Lugdrug, Rakir, Estariel, and Thorgar.
There you go.
Oh, I didn't even have cool models in it. yeah. So, God, that was just terrible. Now that I think about it, I hate Lugdrug. So anyway. I just went after it. Go ahead.
Was there anything specific about in your five games from which you now hate Lugdrug, or did you hate him before you put him in your list?
Both. Like, I found out that he is a member of that god. So I was like, okay, I need a tank. Sure, whatever. He's cool. I like the fact that he can push, and, you know, he's got cool stuff he can do. But he is such a dirt clod compared to, like, Doniger. Like, he is just a dirt clod. But whatever. Again, I'm still new. I fumble about the table trying to learn new things and figure it out. But here's the important parts. On, I believe it's game three, I was playing Just Spencer. Shout out Just Spencer. He sometimes listens to this cast.
I think he's Other Spencer.
Other Spencer. Good call.
I met Other Spencer? We had
that's who it is. Yeah. Like, beautiful army, real nice guy, beats me every time we play, which was once. But we line up in threes, and I'm like, is there really a Dorgokin, whatever the fuck that guy's is, sitting over there on that monster pit, which is about six spaces away from me or something, very, very close. And I started playing the game. And at the end of round one, it starts coming at me. And I'm thinking, that thing sure is close. It immediately starts pounding on my version three effigy, which I don't know if you know, but they don't have that much health in threes.
Is it 16?
Yeah, 16. So if someone 16. Has a soul, the Dorgokin can do 10 points of damage to your effigy. So that means a soul plus a Dorgokin plus anything he throws at it, I die.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened to me. We did nothing other than I realized that thing is coming at my effigy. I don't know what to do. And then he wins the game. After the game was over, we're talking. And then I go up and I'm talking to Wonky about it. And we're kind of discussing like what had happened. He's like, yeah, that sounds bad. And I was like, and then it started coming to my effigy. He goes, you know, effigies are at the same place, right? Why did it come at yours? And I said, I don't know. Why did it come at mine? We didn't roll for it or anything. I was just like, I guess I get to do this. So I went back and told him, and he felt terrible because like he somehow took responsibility for me being stupid. And I was just like, dude, it's fine. It's a flip of a coin. He goes, I think we ought to roll it or something. I'm like, no, that will upset me way too much. We're not going to do that. But hopefully what it has created is a moment where we go, okay, maybe rethink this map. I think at the end of the day, it probably isn't going to have Dorgokin come flying out of that one. It's just too fast and too strong for threes. It's just kind of ridiculous. There's already two monsters on that map. That is a third monster, which is in the middle. It's kind of silly. So that was really the big experience out of that one. I played Robbie round three. Go ahead.
I just had a question. Kenny. So yep. The demon was six away from you in the middle of the table and six away from him, and it didn't go towards a model. It went towards your effigy.
We had both made a humongous berth for this thing. We knew it was coming. Okay. So that we spread, we got way away from it. We had to. Okay. You want to fight that thing? Nobody had levels. Like, yeah. It's coming. So, and we both were counting. We're like, okay, this was too, okay, we're good. And then I always forget that those things come for your effigy. So as soon as we were like, yep, it's coming for yours, I was like, well, obviously. And here it comes. And just start smashing my base. But yeah, that's what happened with that.
Okay. And your round three game?
Round three. So that actually was round four, I think, what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Round three, I basically won my first game, won my second game. And then my third game, I flew too high, and my wings started to fall off. I was like, man, I'm doing great. I think I'm excellent at this game. No. So I kind of blitzed Robbie. I was like, okay, I'm going to run up here and do a bunch of things. And he was like, excuse me, son. I'm going to go ahead and take all your souls, and we're just going to pack this up. I was like, okay, dude. I missed a good charge lane I had with Drelgoth, and I should have, if I had slowed down a little bit and thought about it a little more, I would have been fine. We could have played a real game, but it was more of a blitz, and I just tried to get the game done, because I figured someone who's been playing a really long time, if I ran the game long, he was going to get an advantage on me, and if I just blitzed, it was just going to be what it was going to be. But he did a better job. He got me. So then I was down in the bracket. That's when I think I played Spencer. And then I played my last game, which was against, I think, Sonny's brother.
Mm-hmm. Thomas.
And yeah.
Thomas.
Yep. We played a close game. He took the win on that. And it was a hell of a good time, man. I'm really glad we played a tournament with threes. I never would have done it on purpose. But being Adepticon the way it is, I sign up for everything, and I just kind of fly to fancy it. So I said, I'm going to go do that game instead of the other game. And I'm super happy I did. I got to play some cool people, and you know, I won a few, lost a few. It was exactly right.
So did you like the threes enough to potentially play it again and maybe host a tournament in Kansas City with threes?
I think you could. Okay. I think it's a legitimate tournament option.
It's a different game. I know that. I've played threes, and it is a vastly different type of game. So I was just curious what your thoughts were on it.
I think that it's less, I'll use Aaron's term, sweat lordy. Is that what it is, Aaron? Sweat lordy or
I say try hard. Nigel says sweat lords.
Because there really isn't anything to, I mean, there isn't a whole lot to contemplate, right? You are where you're going to be in a turn, and then they're going to charge you or not charge you. Yeah. Because there's nowhere to go. It just is what it is. On the bigger map, there's certainly a lot of places to be, and you can get out of place real quick. I don't think on threes you can get so out of place. You can get caught trying to do something and get got real good, but it's much, I don't know, it's simpler. The threes are definitely simpler. It's a simpler version of the game, which is refreshing. I was happy to play it.
Good. I'm kind of jealous that I did not play.
Yeah, you chose incorrectly.
Yeah. I do that a lot.
I did not.
Well, no, you made cuts. That's why.
So you played on map four back to back, rounds four and five. Round four, Dorgoke and King Kong, your effigy. What about the fifth game? Was the map problematic or just the Dorgoken?
It was just the Dorgoken. Like, the next game we played, it was the Kanukmara, and it was fine. You can control that thing. It doesn't destroy your base, killing all your dudes. In fact, because it draws you in with its, like, second magic attack or whatever, you're kind of, like, against it. Like, it never really makes it to your base, killing your dudes. It just doesn't.
Okay, so my counterpoint would be that you could attempt to mitigate either a Terra or a Dogoken, as opposed to avoid it, knowing that if you choose to avoid it, it comes, you know, running at your effigy. I would postulate that it would take too many resources and you would lose tempo against your opponent, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about this game, the one where the sucker got me. And it really is tough because once you lose that level and your opponent has the level, or if you get caught fighting a giant monster and your opponent doesn't have to, and especially if you get stuck there for a minute, your soul's like up for grabs. All kinds of horrible things happen that are very lopsided very quickly. So had I went after it, I certainly didn't have the resources because I went after my level one monster. Mm-hmm. And if you don't go after your level one, then your opponent can take your level one. There's all kinds of bad things that can happen, especially in a threes. It's just such a flash of things that are happening so fast. I don't know. Like I said, the second time I played on the map, it wasn't an issue.
Okay.
Now, do you think that demon is a problem specifically in threes? Because I know that when I play in fives, for example, I will try to create tempo by bringing the big demon or the big tier four monster to my side of the table so that I can kill it. So I can get the fate or the items, and I try to build tempo that way. Is it just different in threes, you think? Is that why?
I think it's definitely different in threes. You only have three models. I mean, right. One of them, you can't one-on-one it, like, without a weapon. And are you giving the weapon to that, and then all of a sudden you're not able to kill the other one? It's just, you just don't have the resources. It's pretty rough.
Okay.
Like I said, we spent a lot of time talking about it, and I think that there's a pretty good discussion about it on the Discords. So if anyone has any opinions, wants to jump into that, go for it. But what I'm going to say is one of those walking up, hitting you, and then backswinging and like doing 10 damage to your effigy, see how you dig out of that. Like, that's not good. But again, I am not the best player, and there's... could be an answer there. I don't think for threes it's okay for that to be happening. I just don't think that's the point of playing threes.
Sure. I've never played on anything but map one, but looking at map four,
oh, really?
Three soul pits and three monsters, probably a bit much for a 3v3 again. Three,
yeah. And I mean,
monster pits.
I was thinking, yeah, like it would be a perfectly fine map if that was just another 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine too. Just three monsters is fine. It's okay. Like, but having a big ass dude come out, even a Terra is going to destroy your world. We just didn't have that happen.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I've actually seen the map.
That's, I mean, the Terra can actually hit it the first turn it spawns. Well,
yeah,
the
cute,
next,
right?
Next activation, right? Move to chuck four.
And that's even worse because if the effigy is really the closest, you're flipping a coin to see who is getting that damage. That sucks.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see. I mean, what they,
something.
Go ahead.
Oh, it can't because you're stealthed, right? The effigy,
ooh,
is stealth,
right,
on the first,
yeah,
turn or,
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
So it's not people doing that.
Yeah, so this is something that's new because it's specifically a demon problem, right? Because the demon just runs like D2,
yeah,
plus
because
two.
It runs. Yeah, it can go four, right? Like, it goes four.
Yeah, and it just sprints towards your effigy or sprints, mm-hmm, to your side of the table, and then it can cause a problem. Yeah, so that makes sense.
And it was a shocker. Like I say, it's one of those where I'm like, holy shit. And we all start talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, Sam, sounds like that was pretty bad. That's okay, you know. But it was super fun regardless. And again, I got beat. Well, it doesn't make any difference. I think it could have ended up the same way if it went after Spencer's effigy. But maybe not. I mean, I spent most of my time trying to get rid of that damn demon. Whatever. It was a great time. That's definitely nothing that came close to spoiling anything for me. It was just one of those, like, wow, that seemed bad.
Yeah, well, I was just curious, so no, I appreciate you yeah. Walking me through it.
So, I mean, that was the threes, but we got there on day one and went upstairs searching for people. Mm-hmm. You guys got to play games.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Sure. Kenny, go ahead.
Yeah. I played Wonky, who put me in a glass case of emotion. he put me into a little tiny box and then beat the shit out of me, playing his all minnow list. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. And then we also talked about it and realized that my list had too much or not enough damage in it. But yeah, it was like the game was because I was real tired, but the game was kind of a blur of just, like I said, he just came forward and I couldn't really do anything. And I just kind of compounded one mistake after another. But like I said, after that conversation that I had with Wonky about it, we talked about putting Thorgar on the list, and I could get to that stuff later, but no, we had a really good game, really good conversation afterwards. I met Fabius, Corey, Wonky that night. I don't know if somebody else was there or not. I don't remember.
All I know is I looked over, we were talking, laughing, joking, and I look over and you got whooped so fucking bad so fast.
Oh, it was really bad. It was next Friday, me standing at there with a like a cup, just like, no locked doors. He just locked me into a fucking room. Yeah. He locked me into thrashed. A room and thrashed and beat the shit out of me. Yeah, it was pretty
ugly. With giant models.
Yeah, so the version 1 models. I gotta talk a little bit about that. I've seen pictures of the models, and I didn't think that the pictures were that impressive. I thought, yeah, they're okay, you know. And then I see them live, and I'm like, holy shit, his Thorgar looks fucking awesome. The version 1 Rakir looks fucking awesome. I can't remember which ones that really stuck out to me, but all the version 1 models that I saw, I was impressed by.
Yeah, they're what drew my attention to the game years ago.
Yeah. The Thorgar looks amazing. It's basically almost the same Thorgar, just bigger, but his is beautifully painted, looks amazing. There was, what'd you say his name was? I used to Kansas City local and I didn't know it. Reiner?
Mm-hmm. He goes by Reiner on the Discords.
Yes, his models, let's call a shout out to that guy. His models are fucking beautiful. I look over, because he plays next to me in the round one, and I kept looking over his models. His models look fantastic. It's the best models I've probably seen.
Yeah, he took best painted, didn't he?
Yeah.
That seems like a given.
But yeah, I paid cool. good money. I like all of here. Them. I don't care for the, I think it's Styx. I think Styx looks a little silly. I think Kogan looks a little silly. But most of them are pretty cool. They're very impressive, especially when you're using these new models and they're using the old models. And you're like, what does that guy have? Like 1,000 hit points? Like, Jesus Christ. You brought your big brother to beat me up?
I got God. Model envy. It was
exactly.
The models were impressive. But yeah, I like I said, Wonky's all Minnow list that were all version 1 Minotaurs. It did feel a little odd to be like, oh, here's my Dawnregar, my biggest model, and his Thorgar is like towering over it. Like, yeah, that feels good.
Well, it was funny watching because you both had a Dawnregar, and his was gigantic and yours was little.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
His was the size of the mushroom terrain and mine was like half.
Oh, yeah. So, Aaron, you played a game.
I did. I played against Shane, goes by Infamous Watts on the Discord. Competent player with not a lot of super recent experience. So we wanted to get a practice game in on Wednesday. I want to say he knows slash traveled with Fabius, but I'm sure they can correct me on that. So this was a really feels good, feels bad game. What I mean by that is I got my Kogan to level 3 and then started off one of my turns with aim, spend 2 fate. We're going to do battle cry and buckshot.
Rude.
And he's just like, okay, what does that do? And that's when that was the feels bad part, right? Because,
yeah,
9 attacks because he had 3 people all next to each other. So I felt really good. I got to live the dream once.
You did it.
But
you
then really bad it. Because like he had no idea that it was coming. That's not how you want to live the dream. So so I actually took my last attack into not all of his models, so I didn't just auto win, and he got to have a really good clapback turn with some models to get some work done, and you know, at least get to roll some dice and achieve some victories.
Mm-hmm.
But this will come into play later in the fives tournament. But yeah, so I got to have a baller Kogan game, if you will.
Awesome. I found it really cool to when we arrived that it was the most exciting thing to be like, what's going on with this judgment thing? Like, where are these people at? Where can we get games? Let's do it. Let's see these folks. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out when we arrived, me and Wonky recognized each other. He saw me first and was like, hey, do I know you? And I was like, maybe, I don't know. Well, it turns out back in the day, we were old school War Machine players. And I played Wonky and his brother in a team tournament with Brandon many years ago. And we did some memorable bullshit, which War Machine has. And he still remembered and we reminisced how dumb and stupid it was. So it was super funny to see the same people that we saw many years ago kind of running back into each other in these different games. So that was super cool. That's one of the things I love about Adepticon, just running back into people that you have played before, doing different things, and then running back into them again later. Okay, so day after threes, everyone was super excited for the Premier Fives, which is the tournament of tournament champions of champions and all of the blah, 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 blah. It's the qualifier, right? That was the big deal?
Yes. It is a qualifier.
It's the first qualifier, right?
Yes.
Yes?
And it's the first auto qualifier, where first correct. And second place automatic qualified.
Oh, is it first?
Which had I none, had I realized that, I would have played slightly harder.
Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah. So let's walk through our games and kind of how we got there and maybe talk about our list a little bit. Aaron, you want to start?
Sure. You want to go round by round? Do you want me to do all of mine and then all of Kenny's, et cetera?
Maybe round by round. Just kind of pace it like that. That way we're not all talking for half an hour apiece.
Sure. So after maybe a week and a half of testing, I think it wasn't a whole lot. I did take my Krognar list. I ended up swapping Alendir out and Astariel in. So in God, I had Rakir, Kogan, Victor, Nias, and Cruel. Out of God, Dhan-Ragar, Astariel. Was pretty much happy to play any combination of those five, dropping one of the Soul Gazers, assuming that they didn't ban one. And we'll play a little sneak peek game. In my four games, I had two of my models banned. Again, Dhan-Ragar,
yep.
Rakir, Kogan, Astariel, Victor, Nias, Cruel. What were the two models that were banned in my game?
Victor. One. Got it.
Astariel, too.
Kenny Rakir. Is correct.
Astariel was never banned?
Jeremy is not. No.
It's probably Victor.
What
all
the
of them, right?
Fuck?
No, wait. You played Victor in one of them. So I'm going to bet it's like, Rakir and Victor.
Rakir was not banned.
Ooh.
Donnie?
Nope.
Well, there's...
All right, I'm losing my mind. What land are we playing in here?
It must have been like Cruel or something.
Nope.
Really?
You're running out of models.
Okay. Dhan-Ragar. Kogan. Okay.
So okay. We'll get to why as we talk about the games. But of my seven, Kogan was banned twice and Victor was banned twice. So
smart.
Yep. Anyway, that was a list I took. I won't get into exactly why every model's there. We can talk about that in a later day if you want to, but that's what I took. First round, I ended up getting paired into David Shirley, who was a War Machine player, which always scares the shit out of me when someone's like, oh, I used to play War Machine. I'm like, damn it. Okay. Yep. You did not have casual people play War Machine, right? So
I didn't play War Machine.
Yeah. And so if you said I'm a new Judgment player but used to play War Machine or didn't play War Machine, I would, again, anything can happen. You might be the best person in the world.
Treat you like me, like how you treat me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but okay. When you say, I'm relatively new at Judgment, but I used to be a competitive War Machine player, you know, WTC level, I'm like, shit. It'll take you like two games, yep, and you're going to beat the ever-loving crap out of everyone. That's my assumption.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It didn't happen. First of all, he banned Victor. He was like, yep, I don't know a lot about this game, but I do know that he needs to not play in this one. And I said, okay.
I'm glad people are taking my advice.
He was playing some Ista. I won't go through the list. But yes, he was a very cromulent gamer, but very new with Judgment. And so I kind of helped him. It was kind of a learning game at the con. I ended up taking it down 5-1. I made some plays, and I was, you know, just to kind of make sure he got some good activations in. I was like, I need to make sure I'm not actually throwing this game. But yeah, so it was a good game. David was an amazing individual, and I really hope we get to play again. And in about 3 months' time, I think he could be an extremely good gamer. So, or not gamer, but Judgment gamer. How about that? So, an awesome way to start the tournament off.
Kenny, talk to me.
All right. I played Ista. I was one of two players to play Ista. You know, not what was it? One of three. One of three players to play Ista. My list was, and so my list did change, but the list that I ended up playing was Isabel, Saiyan, Brock, Loribella, Donrigar, Barnaskis, and Thorgar. I was, Wonky had talked me into like changing out Marcus. I didn't need a lot of convincing. And I was looking for Thorgar because I didn't have one. And you guys, I think Jeremy, you were using yours, and Aaron didn't have it. So then I was like, okay, well, I guess go to the next Minotaur that's ridiculous. How about Kogan? And you were using Kogan. And I was like, well, all right. Yorgoth. I was going to use Yorgoth. And Walkie overheard me, and he graciously lent me his version 1, awesomely painted. I had to treat it like a newborn baby Thorgar, which was great. He did a lot of work this weekend. But I ended up playing Thavius.
So hold on. So yeah. You had a giant, stupid Thorgar that's huge, this huge fucking model just destroying shit, and then the rest of them are like this little version?
Yes. So I've not really played Thorgar at all. I think I've played him. Yeah, I think I played him in the threes at LVO, and I don't think I played him much. I think he was in the list, but I think I was taking Jendris, Yorgoth, and Lorabella, or not Lorabella, something else. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I wasn't really taking him. So I've never really played him or put him on the table much. So this was my first experience with him. And that first game showed, because I did jack and shit with that model. It took me a game to figure it out. Because I played Thavius, and the game was really, I don't even think it was that close. It was an okay, like, first, you know, turn one, turn two. I took my Barnaskis and Thorgar up the left side against his Barnaskis, and he took everybody else to the right. And I shifted Thorgar to the right, and I shouldn't have, and I left Barnaskis over there, who ended up getting just worked at one point. And it just kind of snowballed from there. It wasn't really that close. But I did have some cute plays. I have discovered, and it's something I'm going to talk about probably more and more as we go through the lists or the games. What's the artifact? The Elixir of Life artifact on Thorgar is fucking awesome. It's awesome on Thorgar. It's awesome on Brock. It is awesome in Ista. It is awesome on Isabel. It is fucking awesome. And it put in work all weekend. It got Thavius. It was, like, I bought it. It was on Thorgar for, like, two turns. And it was kind of a half gotcha moment. Because he charged into my Thorgar expecting to kill it. And I was like, no, I got Elixir of Life. And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot you bought it. and it popped off. Now, it still didn't matter that much because he was able to get in on the next turn. But it was kind of like this game was more about me kind of, I think, learning Thorgar and then learning some how to play some games because Fabius got me on some really great plays. But I ended up losing that game. I want to say it was 5-1. It was not a, like, I didn't put up much of a fight. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, it was 5-1, and he had 10 levels to my 8. It was over fairly quickly.
So I want to
bring
up a rules clarification I think Robbie made. It affects Elixir of Life, and while we're talking about it, it's the only reason I want to do it.
Okay.
So both him, whether it's Isabel's Holy Elixir of Life or Brock, all those stuff that says when reduced to 0, you heal 1, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Combat maneuvers that do damage, quote unquote, get around that.
Yeah, it happens after the damage is dealt. So you do damage, model dies, then you do combat maneuver, and it kills it again.
Yeah. It's just not how people think of it. They think of, like, the dice and everything affected as a bucket of damage, right? Although it is important to know that, yes, you take your damage from the dice, then you apply potentially further damage from the combat maneuver.
Yes.
So it's a great way to kill a Brock or an Isabel or an Elixir of Life holder. But just a rules interaction that people should be aware of.
However, if you have, let's say, the Elixir of Life on Brock, and someone does that.
While he's next to Isabel, yeah.
Yeah.
But the answer to that is Astariel. Okay, I'm going to burn you. Now I'm going to kill you, and I don't give a shit what stuff you have on you.
Or Alendir, or anybody that can burn. You're right. And I knew that. It was, and I mean, Fabius knew it. I think the only thing we really messed up in the game, now thinking back of it, is when we both got Vujash's. And I don't even think I brought it up to him because I remembered it. Like, I think the game was almost over when I realized, like, oh yeah, looking thinking back, like, what did I make mistakes this game? Is that we both had Vujash's and we did not spawn souls off of Vujash's. Mm. But other than that, I think the game was very clean. There was no real issues. But we both forgot, so it's not like I forgot. He didn't tell me. Neither one of us remembered. We both killed Vujash's, and both of us were like, we forgot. And I was. Like I said, in those settings, especially in con settings, I was already kind of wired and frazzled from because I've been playing MCP for 2 days straight with 5.5 hours of sleep each night. So
you are disqualified. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Yeah. You're both disqualified.
Well, perfect. You can disqualify me. He had a good run. I'll get disqualified. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
What about you, Jeremy?
So my first round. Gosh, I wish I had taken notes and things like that. I just didn't.
Yeah, me too.
I was wound up. So I always land in these tournaments and I'm just kind of like very focused and I'm not taking notes in my head. I'm just kind of in the moment. So I did get to have revenge on my good friend, Thomas Sonhalter, Sonny's brother. And he got me on the threes. And the bottom line is I got him on the fives. If I remember correctly, he was trying to harvest some souls and he had a rough time and made some bad rolls and things like that. The game was pretty much, I felt like I was in control of the whole game. I do remember that part of it because it was just one thing followed by another, and it just kind of kept falling in my hands. I wasn't really too worried about that game. I was playing, like I say, I was playing Krognar. My list consisted of a bunch of models that are not Krognar. It was a really bizarro thing, but to me it made a ton of sense. Most of my lists were made up of Fazeel, Thorgar, Rakir, Cruel, and Donegar. There was a ban here and there. I got to play Victor once. I think this was the game I got to play Victor in. So of course that worked out pretty good. And he was playing Ista. I don't even think he used his effigy power. It just never came up. It was one of those using the models I was using. Like, nothing needed to be healed because it just died. Or I was back at my effigy all the time, which is kind of the story for fives for me. I played it like I had a ring on everybody, and I just would punch a hole and then hop back. Punch a hole, hop back. And that's what I did to him. I didn't allow any sort of retort, which is the way I played it. I don't know if that's the right way, but I did not have a Kogan to plant himself right in the middle of your shit and destroy everything and then escape. My stuff was all about charging and then leaving. But yeah, it was we played the day before. He's a super nice guy. We had a great time, great game. I just pulled it out.
Did you go over your list for fives and how it differed from your threes?
It had Fazeal in it.
Okay.
That was the major difference. Oh, and I also took out Estariel. I'm not any good using her. I actually didn't have any range elements in my list. I did have Nias and Cruel in case someone decided to ban Cruel, which I don't think anyone did, which means I was having two Bloodlusts on the table at the same time during my next turn, which was pretty crazy. But really, the addition, I put in Fazeal and something else.
You got Thorgar, but
that was really Cruel, the big
Richard, Donnie. I think you put Donnergar, Donnie and Fazeal in.
Fazeal,
yep, Nihilus, Donnie Victor. And Fazeal.
Yeah.
Donnie was a rock star in every single game. Fazeal was a rock star in every single game. Thorgar, same. Like, the list punched holes in things. It was really cool.
Sure. I mean, I could obviously see Thorgar can beat any list. Fazeal is an interesting ad, I think. But your point was,
it was,
he charges a long way, and I can recall him every turn. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
What was really neat, too, is the group of models I had, if I just put, every time, I put a hunter's knife on one of them and a vorpal on the other. So wherever the monster was I needed to get rid of, basically I could one-shot almost any monster. It just didn't matter. Like, I could charge and kill it. Like, things were just exploding. It was pretty cool. Okay, so I had a win. Kenny had a loss. Aaron had a win.
Yep.
Let's go to round two. Aaron, you ready for round two?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Round two, I played against Dan Recker. Goes by Recker, I believe. I think he is part of Jeff Fredrickson's meta. Again, trying to figure out who people are and, you know, who where they're at. Still learning. But he said, yeah, they just sat down, you know, and ran through a bunch of round ones multiple times in a row. And I was like, huh, sounds like a really good idea and something I might have considered doing before this tournament. Because that's the only thing you can actually predict, right? But I can sit down with the warband that I've got and run through 30 round ones against each other and see where we end up. You know, how often am I able to get that monster down with these two models? Or do I need to commit a third? And I just thought that was a really good way to approach tournament prep and thought I'd share it here. So, yeah, so I thought that was impressive. He was playing Bruellen. He once again said, Victor, no, sir. And Victor got the boot. He had Pryo, and I want to say his playstyle was the definition of all gas, no breaks. Turn one was nothing special. Turn two was EP. And I was like, ooh, that's spicy. Because he only had one model in charge range, and it was Lugdrug. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not going to retreat with my EP power for Krognar. Like, I'm going to hold mine. Because what I really wanted to do all tournament long was hold my EP so I could put Kogan level 3 and just obliterate the world. And that's the goal. And so I refused to use my EP to get out of dodge. I let him charge me. Donregar took the hit. Stone formed and moved back out of range. He then used sticks to port up Drelgoth. He was like, aha, you thought you were out of range. You are no longer out of range. And he made one key mistake, which was he thought Blood Challenge on Drelgoth would ignore Stone Form from Donregar. Blood Challenge ignores bonuses to anything from other characters. So, like, Protective Stance from Marcus would get ignored. Stuff like that. But since Stoneform is from Donregar onto himself, instead of doing death damage to Donregar, he ended up doing 6 damage, which was from 6 separate attacks. You know, 1 damage each.
Yeah.
When he made the decision to charge, I offered to, like, have him just reset Donregar. Drelgoth's complete activation, and he didn't take me up on that. And I don't know if that was from, you know, I don't know what you call it, tournament guilt. You're like, nope, I already said I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do it, which I can absolutely respect. Or if he still thought that was the best way forward. But my offer to reset the activation was genuine. I've done that in many games. Like, if you make a decision with incorrect or improper information, I don't really want that to decide the game. I'd rather the game be decided based off of decisions we make with correct information. But he decided he was going to go do it anyway, so he came into me, and then I just basically chopped Drelgoth's head off, and Then he came in with Thorgar, and I pushed Thorgar into a monster, and it just went really downhill really fast for him at that point. Yeah, that's about it from the takeaways. Was he came in really hard and ended up getting his feet cut off for it.
Okay. Kenny, second round.
Second round, I played Thomas. I played your first round opponent, and he was playing Ista. It was interesting. We played on map 3, and map 3 is the four Soul Pit map. Or not Soul Pit, Monster Pit map. And we go through the process. He bans my Saiyan, and I was shocked. Almost nobody banned Saiyan in my list. That's kind of... It took me by surprise. So I sat there for a second. I'm like, well, okay, what am I missing? Well, I decided to ban his Brock because I was like, well, there's a bunch of monsters in the game or on this map, and I think he's going to have a problem because his list, he had a Dragoth and a Lorabella, but the damage dealing was not, well, there wasn't a lot there. So I wanted to try to starve him. With some damage by banning his Brock. And that turned out to be the correct decision because it put him behind right off the bat. Dice did not do him a lot of favors that round one. He had a Rujasha and a Gloom on his side, and I had two Glooms on my side, I want to say. And he struggled to kill both of his monsters. He ended up not getting on his shrine turn one to kill one of the monsters, and it kind of snowballed from there for him. I guess he probably could have worked out of it, but the dice didn't do him any favors. But it was a good game in the respect that he presented a lot of like puzzles for me to try to solve. His Thrommel was a problem the entire game. His Dragoth was a problem until Isabel got a level, and then it started to go bad. But she, you know, punches holes through demons. But this was another game where I took Elixir of Life on... I took it on Thorgar. I took Ring of Teleportation on Isabel. And then I took the monster knife, or the Hunter's Knife on Brock, and I was just running around killing monsters, and nobody died. Like, I think I had Donnergar, who ended up on like 2 health at one point, and in a turn and a half he was like an 18. It was really silly. I healed, like, and this is going to be the theme for the weekend. I healed a lot, but it wasn't the most that I had healed in any game. But I really enjoy that part of it of where almost none of my models die, because I also had the resto potion on Lorabella. She got a level, and then I was just basically flashing her all over the table, like, well, I'm gonna run over here and heal this Minotaur, I'm gonna run over here and do a resto potion. She was doing that almost all of my games, and I ended up taking that one down. I don't remember the score on that one. What was it, 5? Yeah, that one was 5-1. He ended up having 2 souls on a model, and I ran Brock up there and crit twice to get the backswings and end up killing that model. It was closer than the score indicates, but banning Brock for me was a good decision, and Brock is still pretty good with damage, as we've all know.
Okay. First off, I think the reason that you won that game is Lorabella was alive and in your list. That would never happen. That is a virtual reality world.
I was going to ask about Lorabella when he got done with the 4 games, so we'll see. I'm still tabling that question.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'll hold as well.
Yeah. I'll give you some synopsis of the weekend.
Son of a bitch. Don't act like you're like, no.
She was so not my game, MVP.
Oh, great. So my game, I played Jeff Fredrickson next. So we were both playing Krognar, and he's playing what I'd consider to be a real Krognar list. He's got all Krognar models, essentially. Actually, I think they are all Krognar models. We went across his list. I'm like, yeah, okay, got it. And the way he had everything very organized, and he was just very efficient with his turns. I'm not sure if he played Guild Ball or War Machine before or whatever, but he was definitely one of those people. He had a shit together. Let's just say that. And it was funny because when I'm playing a tight game, sometimes I'll get like just laugh about stuff or act like I'm taunting you or whatever. And it was one of those games where I didn't call my EP because we're playing the same type style, right? And he wouldn't call his. So I had priority and I was like, I'm not calling mine. Then he goes, I'm not calling mine either. And I go, God damn it. And he's like, what? I'm like, no, dude, I'm just jacking around. I'm like, I'm just kidding, man. I'm like, obviously, we're not doing it. I mean, we waited forever to call our EPs. I think this is the game that it was for Monster Pits, and that's what reminds me, because I don't remember a lot about these games. But I had two Vajoshes in my face, because that's ended up what happened. He's like, I'm taking this side. I'm like, I guess I get this piece of shit side. So the Vajoshes, one of them walked up on me. I killed the other one. The other one, after, you know, turn three or four, finally managed to get into me. And then I just got pummeled. I think that was this game. Again, he took really good turns. Like, he took care of the things he needed to get taken care of, and he ended up getting me. So, good job. That was pretty much all I remember about that. Turn round three. So we're all going into this. I took my loss. Kenny got his win, and Aaron got his win. So then going into round three, I am 1-1. Kenny is 1-1, and Aaron is 2-0. All right, Aaron, go for it.
Okay, so round three, I got paired into Shane, who I played on Wednesday evening. He took one look at my list and was like, oh, still running Kogan, huh? I was like, haven't changed it. Only brought seven models to the con. And he was like, yeah, let's not have a repeat of that. Kogan can go sit on the bench. So I only say that because I think people debate the correct or optimum ban, if you will. And sometimes I love that this game and the pick ban system in general can just be like, there's this one interaction I don't want to deal with. So he's like, yep, I know you can play Victor and maybe you'll do very mean and cruel things to me, but I do not want Kogan to go off. So he gets to sit on the bench. And I was like, I love that. I love that this game allows that. And I wish more people would get away from the optimum ban, right? Because optimum, and it doesn't mean anything when you talk about human beings and emotions and desires. So anyway, Victor did not win me this game. He had a really cool moment at the end, but Victor didn't get to do a whole lot. So he's playing Ista, and early in the rounds or the turns, I was able to snipe out his Barnaskis with a fifth activation Rakir charge toxin. I could withstand his counterpunch because the only model he had left was too far away. I think a move charge was all he could do, which let me, I think, Toxins Barnaskis again on the wraparound turn to kill him and then portal out. So again, I was able to snipe the soul, and the soul spawned on my side of this map to begin with. It was a two soul pit map with the soul pits not on the center line. So I'm thinking, okay, like I'm going to win these souls, right, as they come back and forth, and I've sniped a soul from one of his models. So I'm up on fate. Donragar is sitting on the middle shrine in stone form and not moving. I am advantaged in this game. And then the dice god said, hold my beer. And I proceeded to fail the first six soul harvest rolls I made that game.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I failed eight overall. Four of the first six were with Cruel needing sixes. He was just like a hard nope. And so that let Shane back into that game a lot. The only other thing that was particularly of note was Cruel finally got a soul. I think he ended up with two of them late in the game. I went first to do it. First activation of my turn, and he'd called his EP power. He was like, okay, we're going to kill your guy with two souls. And I'm like, yeah, you might, but we're going to see what we can do to stop you. So everything from Algarath Taunting to my second to last activation was Donragar, and I do a bunch of stuff. I stone form, I say stone grasp, spend a fate, and pass turn. And his face just got very forlorn because he was absolutely going to wreck my world with Thrommel. Again, using Fly and Nimble and just charge and kill Cruel. But then all of a sudden he's stone grasped and can't do anything about it. So Dhanragar almost single-handedly won me that game with a very key stone grasp activation. Other things of note, I went up on souls, but trying to get that last one was like trying to get blood from a rock, because he's got a level 2 Brock. He's got a level 2 Holy Isabel. Everyone is just piled in this big cluster around the middle. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to kill anything anymore. I ended up doing it with an Astariel burn on Isabel after she had gone. And then Victor popped out of a soul nearby, summoned a Dorg, and was like, aha, I heard you don't like demons. And I got the fifth soul out of Dorg killing Isabel in demon revenge. Because there were only two souls on the board, it was hard for Victor to really get leverage. It never made sense, and or he harvest his soul before Victor could do anything meaningful on his side of the board. And otherwise, Victor was near his own soul. So all Victor did all game long was sit on my shrine, walk forward, spawn an Algorath, and walk back. So Algorath did a lot of really interesting, I keep taunting all of your models, making you kill him. Very useful. Rude. But that's all he did. Literally the entire game was I sacrificed all of my Victor's actions for whomever I taunted, or whomever Shane decided to go kill Algorath with instead of the taunted model. So it was a fun little side game. Anyway.
That sounds annoying.
It was probably pretty annoying. But less annoying than having every model killed by one Kogan activation.
Fact. All right, Kenny, you are up. Round 3.
I played Sunny round 3. I played into his Krognar list. This game was pretty epic. I banned Victor, of course. He took Zarin, Cruel, Kogan, Rakir, and Dhanragar.
That's my list.
Yes.
Or actually, yes, we'll call it Sunny's list. I copied.
Yes, it is very good. He banned my Lorabella. So I took Isabel, Saiyan, Brock, Dhanragar, Thorgar. He gets the level 4 Kogan, and I see it coming because you've talked about it. I've heard about the Kogan bullshit. We've talked about it a little bit. I stayed away from that guy. We were playing on map 2. Map 2 is the shrine in the middle. Everybody can go look at it if they want to see it. I went up the left side and kind of in the middle. I put my Donnie on the center shrine. He did not come to the center shrine at the beginning. So I get that shrine. I get my shrine. I go up on Fate. We are fighting it out. He goes into my Dhanragar very hard. Dhanragar gets down to like 3 health. I do Ista bullshit, bring him all the way back up to like 16. It's fucking silly how fast it happened. So then I bring up Thorgar and Brock, and I'm thinking it's going to be okay. Isabel gets a level, she goes down the holy side, Saiyan stands on the back shrine, gaining souls. He puts a whooping on Thorgar and Brock, puts them both at 1 health. I bring them back to my shrine, move them back up to the left over by Saiyan. Saiyan activates, heals them. Next thing you know, they're both at almost full health. I was like, okay, so we come charging right back in. Donnie stands at the center of the table like a fucking champ. It just eats one activation after another. It does not fucking die. And I can see the soul start to leave his body. Sunny is shooting him. He is throwing things at him. He runs up with Rakir, stabs him, poisons him, does the toxin, does like 7 damage, leaves him on 2. And here comes, I just walk Isabel up. Well, hey, Isabel, what's up? Heal. Then I activate Dhanragar, Fate, heal. Regen, and it's just like, and he just like, ugh. And then at one point he goes, well, I thought he was on 16. I'm like, well, he regened, and then he activated next to Saiyan, and he just like looked at me and looked at the ground. I was like, ugh. Like it just kept happening. It was just every turn I healed, like I started to keep track in my head of how many times I was healing just Dhanragar. Dhanragar healed like 43 wounds at one point. As I got up to the count, I stopped counting. I was like, this is insane. This happened twice. So then he gets a little desperate. He does an effigy dive with Kogan and starts bringing models in. Pretty ingenious what he did. So he waited until I was at the end of my... I had Thorgar left. He had Kogan left. He brought Kogan up. He'd already had two souls or three, I do not remember. He put my effigy on one health. And at that point, I thought, oh, I've lost this game. The game is over. I've lost. This is really bad. I don't know how to recover from this. So then I'm kind of standing there. I'm looking. I'm like, what do? I have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm like, well, I guess I just bring Thorgar back. And then I charge Thor. I don't even think I charge. I think I just walk Thorgar into Kogan so he can't just shoot my effigy three times. And then the next turn starts. And this is where shit gets fucking crazy. So he brings Cruel down. He brings Zarin down. He starts popping. He starts putting down Shadow Orbs. He activates and brings somebody to my effigy. And then all of a sudden I just start recalling. So I recall and stand in front of my effigy. And then he brings a model in. And then I recall. And then all of my models are coming back. And it's just, we are fighting in front of my effigy. Just model for model. And at one point, Every model on the table is standing within two hexes of my effigy. And we are fighting right there. And like I said, this is the second time I've healed all of my models from basically dead. We're just standing there. He makes a mistake, I think, and dives too hard into the effigy. If he doesn't do that, I think it's a little different. But at one point, I thought, no, I've lost the game again because he's just going to port in with his Rakir and stab the effigy. Well, then I bring in Saiyan. She picks up the Shadow Orb. So I just keep picking up a Shadow Orb. She keeps dropping them. I keep picking them up. There's my actions. Like, it's over. We go to another turn. Like, I don't know how I'm still alive. Well, my healing ended up keeping me from losing another soul because all he had to do was kill one of my models or get a soul because he'd already done damage to my effigy for me to lose the game. He couldn't kill my models because of Isabel, because she went down the holy side. Ended up winning me the game, but it was one of the craziest things I have seen. It's the craziest effigy jive I've seen. And we were both just sitting there like, I can't believe that happened. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching after the game, I'm just staring at the board like, I have no idea how we got to where we are. I think that game is recorded, I think. I don't remember now.
I think that one is. Yeah. I think it is.
It ended up, I mean, again, the weekend's a blur. Like, I barely remember some of the people I've even talked to. So I'm thinking I remember that game correctly, but it was twice where my models went from like 1 to 3 health all the way back up to like 16. And I could just see it on his face that he was just like, it was like despair started to set in the second time. Like, it was just because he just couldn't keep up. But that was the most ballsy effigy dive I think I've ever seen. It was pretty great game.
I wish I didn't know what that felt like, what he was living. But I've been a part of your everybody's dead and now everybody's back to full health. How did this happen? Are you cheating me? ?
Yeah. So I think at one point he even said, he was like, well, I thought he was at 16. I'm like, well, he activated near, or Saiyan activated, and Saiyan was level 3 at that time. And healed him all the way back. I think it was Thorgar. But I mean, yeah, I get it. Cause even I was like looking at the thing. I'm like, wait, how much was the health? Okay. Yeah. It's almost back to full. I probably healed 100 wounds that game. It was stupid. Like, it was a point to where, cause ridiculous. I used my resto potion on Dawnregar, who was at 5 health at one point. When I remember that, cause he was at 5 health, went up to 15, and the next turn happened. Well, now he's at 17 cause he regened. It's like, well, he was at 5. He was just at 5.
You're a bad human being.
Yeah. So I am probably, that reignited my, I want to play more Ista and throw some more different models in there to see kind of what's what. So I think I might take Thorgar out and put Kogan in after we've talked about it. I think that might be interesting.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
That might be interesting.
I'm riveted.
You should be. I can't wait to see if it works. I talked to Sonny about it a little bit. He's like, we got to make sure you get Kogan the levels. I said, well, I don't think that'll be a problem because I got to pick somebody to get him a level 2, right? Might as well be Kogan. If it's not Brock or Thorgar or Isabel, see what happens. Just a Minotaur that regens and heals, 10 hit points of every round. Seems cool. Good.
Alrighty. I got lined up against our local Ryan. He goes by Bad Ryan. Do you have the ability to pull up his list? I can't seem to do that on my... I'm trying to remember what he played exactly.
Yeah, he was playing Bruellen with Zanya, Thorgar, Lugdrug, Drogoth, Parnassus, Astariel, and Elendir.
Got it. So, I don't remember a lot of this game. Again, that's just how I am. What I need to mention, though, is almost all my games are on camera because those were the tables that were spread out, and I didn't have someone talking in my ears, so I chose those. So if you guys want to watch my games, have at it. But I don't remember a lot of them. I do remember I was given Elendir fits by making sure I had someone, you know, base to base with him. I banned his Zhonya because it just had to happen. And then he banned Victor, I believe. So I didn't get to play that game, but I just kind of did the things I needed to do. I was actually winning very handily. I don't remember what happened, but he got very aggressive, and all of a sudden he started flipping it. It scared the shit out of me, but I ended up pulling it off there in the end. Unfortunately, I don't take notes, so that's what I remember. Next round, that leaves us at, I am 2-1, Kenny is 2-1, Aaron is 3-0. Aaron, you want to take us into the finals round?
Sure. Four. What ended up being the final round, we didn't know it at the time because there was a pair down. I was not paired down. I went into Jeff Fredrickson, also 3-0, both winning Krognar, both winning Victor. So bullshit was equal. He ended up taking Pryo, and he banned Mike Kogan because he said he didn't see Victor in my list. Not that I was hiding anything. He just glossed over him, right? He's a little halfling. It's really hard to see. So he probably would have banned Victor. However, since he didn't ban Victor, I also did not ban his Victor. turns out the best counter for a Victor Gentleman. Is a Victor. So I figured he could go ahead and I would be able to counter his Victor with my Victor, right? And I opted for the Rakir ban. Also because Kogan, Victor, and Styx all take a lot of fate. And I really didn't think he'd be able to use them all effectively, and he ended up dropping Styx. So he played Zarin, Cruel, Lugdrug, Kogan, and Victor into my team. I thought this was a pretty interesting game. It started off as poorly as it could for me. This is the one with three soul pits, and the one that spawned first was the one on his side. So he was able to go run and grab the soul to begin with, which also meant since I went hard left for my monster, he was going to be able to grab the center soul, which would spawn next. And then that meant that, you know, he'd go up 2-1, I would grab mine to go 2-1, and then he could grab the next two to effectively go 4-1, and if he kills any person or does anything to the effigy, he'll just win. So I know at this point, I have to stop the progress of the game the way it's going. So I get very aggressive towards his soul, and he's like, okay, well, taunt. I was like, okay, port to the soul, banish your Algorath, spawn my own Algorath, charge your Cruel. Like, we're not waiting for the game to play out. Like, we need to be super aggressive. At that same turn, I think I triple moved Astariel and Donnie to behind his effigy. Turn three, I have Astariel and Donnie behind his effigy and two people fighting over his soul pit. I'm like, we're full gas. Like, I don't have any options here. I can't sit back and wait for this game. This was all made possible because of a one hex positioning mistake he made in hindsight, which let some monsters get onto his Zarin, and he was forced to recall Zarin. And that's what Donnie's doing. Donnie's behind the effigy hitting on a Zarin who had recalled there. never killed him, but me being so aggressive, I think I got two souls and just start pounding his effigy. So it forces him to have to kind of recall to kind of deal with me. He recalls, he taunts, and then he walks three squares away with his Algorath. So he's five, six hexes away in a forest. So even if my Astariel blazes, I'm still too far to be able to see his Algorath, you know, which effectively neuters her entire activation. So I made what I thought was a cheeky play to double move my Victor on three health to spawn an Algorath to charge into a monster Algorath to push him into his Algorath to kill him, which would then effectively remove the taunt from Astariel, which wow. I did. Anyway, lots of really, really, I thought, good play and counterplay in this game, which is recorded. I normally never watch my recorded games in any game system, but I'm actually looking forward to rewatching this one. Game came down to his Victor then killing mine, like who was aggressive the turn prior. He goes up 4 souls to 3, and I have a play to kill his Victor from full health with my Rakir, and I take it. I get lucky on dice. With a reroll, it was only 40% chance to happen, but I hit the 40. I kill his Victor, who had 2 souls. I go up 4-2, and I have 4 models next to his effigy, and at that point, the game is over. So, like I said, without going into every minute detail, there was a ton of what I thought was really good play, counterplay, hopping through portals, soul-stepping with Victor. I'm sure when I watch it, like I will see like 16 things I did that were horseshit and wrong. But in the moment, I thought it was a really great game. But I took it for down sure. At the end.
Excellent. Kenny, how did your game go?
I played Corey. He was playing Bruellen. His list is Zandra, Brock, Thorgar, Lugdrug, Isabel, Estariel, and Cool. This is the same problem I had with Fabius in the round one. I don't know who really to ban in that list. Zandra, Brock, Thorgar, or Estariel. I chose Thorgar. I think that I did that just because I was hoping to fate starving because the map that we played on only has the has 3 shrines, which is one in the middle, and the other one I thought I could try to keep him off of. That didn't turn out to be true, and it wasn't that detrimental or whatever. And then he banned, I'm pretty sure it was Lorabella, which is why she wasn't my MVP, because I only get to play her twice. Anyway, we had a pretty fantastic game. It was very even back and forth. He ended up killing one of my models early. Dawnregar stood on the center shrine the entire game and just ate activations again. He just eats and eats and eats attacks. And I kept telling him he was my MVP because the entire weekend, all he did was stand there, take hits, get me fate by standing on a shrine, pushing other people off, and just putting in work. It was kind of silly, to be honest. It came down, so the game came down, because I moved into his Estariel, kept pushing him back towards his shrine, or his effigy. I positioned myself for an effigy dive. I was, at one point, I was up 4-3 on souls. He grabs a soul with Cruel. We are 4-4. It comes down to the final turn where he has to position a couple models to keep me off of his effigy. And it came down to the very last turn. He activated first. He needs a 7-up with a reroll to pick up a soul, or I pick up a soul with a 6-up reroll with Saiyan. He ends up getting the 7-up. It came down to just basically a dice roll, which is the hallmark of a good game, right? He played well. I felt like I played well. Wasn't a whole lot of mistakes. I think his Cruel had 3 souls on it. I couldn't kill him. I couldn't get to him. Zandra was protecting him pretty good. He had Isabel over there as well. I wasn't willing to dive in to try to kill Cruel with Zandra staying in there, who never activated first. And that was kind of the game. It went back and forth. Great game. Corey's a great opponent. Very good player. And I really don't have any much more to say about it other than, like, I wasn't mad. I was just kind of like, yeah, came down to a dice roll, man. Good game. You played well.
Yeah, I really like those games to win or lose.
I find those games to happen quite a bit. Maybe not on a dice roll, but on last activation. And that's great. I love that about a good game. Yeah. All right, so mine. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, he had priority from the word go, and I was never able to get that from him, so he went first. And like I said, it came down to he went first, made his 7-up to pick up the soul, and that happens all the time.
Yep. So my game, this is the one game I do remember, because this was such a crazy, like, taking me back to when I was a young buck playing long games that were tight back and forth and et cetera, and having to figure my way out. So I was playing Tony Ray. He was playing Krognar. He's got Cradle, Kogan, Piper, Rakir, Skull, Yorgoth, and Zeron. Guess who I banned or vetoed? Can you guess?
Hold on one second. Piper.
Rikir.
Wrong and wrong.
Cradle.
Krokdar, fuck Kogan. I was like, nope, I have learned a lesson. I was like, I don't think he's going to play Cradle. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I know what Kogan does. Piper, I know it, that's fine. Like, I've dealt with that for a while. The rest of those, you know, I'm just like, okay, I see the cut of your jib. But I wasn't going to deal with Kogan.
Did you like the cut of his jib?
I did.
Okay.
So this game was interesting in that we're both playing kind of the same ability to go back and forth, except he has the ability to use Skull and basically buff his models that he wants to send in. I don't have any of that. I just go a little further, a little faster. So in this game, he started using his skeletons really, really well. He extended out the range of Zeron, was able to collect some souls at distances and do some cool stuff. Well, there was a moment that happened where all of a sudden there's two souls floating in his top right. He doesn't have anyone over there except some skeletons, but the souls got stuck there, and I'm waiting for the next soul to appear in my corner, and I've got Cruel just sitting there. And I'm like, come on, buddy. Well, he wouldn't pick it up. He wouldn't get rid of it. We just sat there, and he was doing this murder game, and I'm like, I have to stop this. So as this is going on, and I'm trying to figure this out, time is clicking away. I look over, and I'm like, I'm 1 minute behind. I'm 4 minutes behind. I started getting behind, and I'm like, okay, I got to do something. So I send up Fazeel, and I blow one of the souls up. I just nuke it. I use his, I harvest it, I heal, blow it up, and then I come back home. The next turn, the soul appears, Kroll eats it, or Kroll, he gets a hold of it, puts us in a kind of a more even spot going back and forth. Now, we're only even in the fact that our souls are close, but he's up on me about 10 minutes on the clock for whatever reason. Maybe I went in the tank too much. I'm not sure, because I kept paying attention and saying, I need to go fast. I need to go fast. I don't want this to happen. So the game got itself down to we both had 4 souls apiece. And he's pressing me, and I have 1 minute left. And there is no souls left on my side. The turn before, I realized how close time was, and I put Fazeel way up for a charge on his effigy. And by the time he gets back around and the clock goes to me, I have 1 minute to harvest a last soul. So I was at 3. So I had to harvest a soul and also charge his effigy within 1 minute. And he activated and everything. I ended up doing it. I ended up pulling the game out. I had 20 seconds left on my clock, and he had 10 minutes. I was like, Jesus Christ. It was the Ewoks cheering in the background. I couldn't believe I pulled it off. But that game was very memorable. I'll always remember that as a very cool, fun, awesome game. And Tony just didn't give any inches. Like, it was tough fought the entire time. And like I told him, I was like, it was cool to watch someone play Krognar so well. And, I mean, I just did an effigy dive and got him. Like, it was just one of those things. But he definitely outplayed me. So that game was fun.
Yeah, I saw the end.
So that puts
game.
Us at the magic numbers of 3-1 for me. Was it 3-1 for you, Kenny?
No, 2-2.
Was it 2-2? 2-2. And that puts our grand champion as Aaron. Aaron took this thing down. Congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you.
And this was a qualifier for the LVO. So the top 1 and 2 players immediately get a pass to that, which is really cool. And then there was points collected for that. Did you want to talk a little bit about the points and how that system works, Aaron?
Sure. I'm actually going to go on to their rankings.
It just came out like today.
It did. Yeah, so the way they calculate rankings has been established and known for a while. But bottom line is you're going to have a point ceiling for a tournament that's going to be up to 100 points if you win. And that's based on the number of people in the tournament. So a smaller tournament will generate a smaller number of points for the people who participate, which makes sense. Based on the size of the fives, the point ceiling was, I think, 75. And so as the winner, I got 75 points. And then it just goes down to zero for the first eight, the top eight, or sorry, the all of the players will get a certain number of points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so everyone gets a point between zero and whatever the ceiling is. And then your top three scores will be used to calculate your points total. So I intend on playing in probably five, maybe six events this year. Now, if I hadn't have won the tournament, I exclude that, right? Even though I play in six events, I can't just cheese my way to a huge point total by playing a lot of events. Only the top three are going to count. So I really like that. I will also say that playing in larger events matters a whole lot more than playing in a smaller mm-hmm. event. For instance, the person who finished 10th, which was Tony, got 44.32 points from Adepticon. If mm-hmm. you were to go to, say, one of our local quals, which might only have 8 to 10 people, let's say it has 8 people, the winner gets 40 points. So you get more points by going to Adepticon and placing 10th than you do by winning an 8-person local qual, which I think is appropriate, right? You want to encourage people to go to larger events. Con should mean something.
That's awesome.
So, say what?
I said that's awesome. I love the way this is set up.
Yep. So I have nothing but two thumbs up right now. I'll have to see how it plays out over the course of the year. But bottom line, go to as many qualifying events as you can if you're interested. Obviously, the bigger ones matter more. But bottom line, just have fun with it. And then we'll kind of see how the rankings shake up and if there's a change that needs to happen next year. But that's kind of the basis for it.
Very cool. So you got yourself a nice medal. That was cool. What else? I know that we played some more games. I saw some... there was like a free-for-all thing. So speaking of Adepticon, not just tournaments, mm-hmm. I saw them playing a crazy free-for-all, which they keep, they were playing it. Then they were like, let's play it more and let's play it more. So that version seems like it's interesting. I mean, people were playing it. Do you know anything about that? Either of you?
I know. I want to play it.
That there are rules for and they are working at tweaking.
Yeah.
I am generally not a fan of most alt format anything.
Okay.
Having said that, I would absolutely play this and give it the benefit of the doubt. I just, like, even in Blood Bowl, they have different versions of Blood Bowl. I'm like, no, we're just going to play regular Blood Bowl.
Okay.
So anyway, it's a personal thing. I'm not trying to shit on the format. It's probably a great format, and they really enjoyed it. And I do think it is interesting to have something you can just do for fun, right? So I guess when I said I wouldn't want to do like a tournament of it, but as something to do at Adepticon after you're done playing your serious games, I think that would be great. Right? Let's just break out the break out some models. We're gonna play 3v3. We're gonna drink some beer, eat some pizza, and I'm gonna try to convince him why he should attack you instead of me.
That's what it looked like to me. I'm always looking for something like that to do after the serious thing. So if that is an actual fun thing to do, I'm very interested in it. Now, yeah, like I'm not into, you know, practicing for something and being like, let's do a free for all because there's no, I'm not interested in that.
Right.
But it did look, it looked fun. I mean, people were playing it.
No, they said they had a blast. So good.
Anything else? Go ahead.
So going back to the fives, do we want to talk about gods and god breakdown? And like, I don't know if that's anything even interesting to you guys.
I think. There's still a couple of things I want to talk about the tournament specifically, and I know we're getting kind of short on time, so I'd rather talk about those, and then I know the Summoned is probably going to do a God Breakdown.
Okay.
So maybe we'll come back to it next week. What are your thoughts, Jeremy?
This is an Adepticon episode. We do whatever we want. This isn't a real format, so just whatever.
Okay, Kenny, go. Take it away.
I was just curious what you guys' thoughts were on it. There were 8 Krognar, 6 Bruwellen, 5 Ista, 2 Gruul, 1 Tauren, and 0 Tomas players. Is the Krognar effect more because recalling for one is stupid good, or because Victor's new and people are playing the new model? I didn't know what your thoughts were on it. I'm leaning more towards Krognar's just stupid good. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think they're stupid good, but I also think that healing for 100 during a game is pretty stupid good too. So, I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
I kind of stand by what I said at the beginning before we left was I think Ista is actually the strongest warband out there, but Krognar is the most fun. I also think Krogno is very, very good.
Yeah. So my thing is like, let's look at, why don't we look at why the two lowest are the two lowest? Maybe that will be more informational.
That,
like, why is no one playing Thomas?
I mean, I have my thoughts on it. I think the effigy power is probably the worst one.
Hands down. Gruul gives it a run for the money. Okay, they're both really bad.
They're both not good. I think Tomas is, as someone who played a lot of Tomas early, the effigy power leaves a lot to be desired. There's also, I mean, I don't know what you do to change it or what you do to kind of beef it up, but...
Well, I have thoughts.
you can't use the effigy power on splash models. The models in it are not great. And then banning Rakir or Fazeal just turns turns it off, right? Because there's not a whole lot that can be gained from that. So,
what if you scrap it completely, but instead say you may modify one die once per activation?
I got real excited.
Mm-hmm. It does the same thing it's doing now, which is reduce your requirement by one, but it also lets you potentially do more damage, right?
Mm-hmm. That's legit, man. I like that. I mean, it makes, you can make a crit, you can make the Jade when you need it, that's usable. That's very usable.
Yeah, I don't hate that. That's actually probably really, really good.
All right, you fixed it.
There you go. Put a stamp on it.
So that's Tomas. I mean, like, it has, you pretty much just said it all right there. Like, a lot of times you do it and you get all the J's and shit anyway on the models you really need it. And it's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now. It's one of the only ones that's like that, where you just, it's like, fucking, that's just so dumb. You don't get any benefit. Maybe gain a fate or something. I don't know.
Yeah. We can shit on Tomas later. But yeah, it has some issues.
I definitely will shit on it later.
Okay.
All right. So the other one that was low, Torin.
There is nothing wrong with Torin.
I think Torin's just missing a model or two. I think Torin really needs a melee, like a good melee beater, like a Thorgar. And that might push him over the edge. But I think that's the only thing that they're really missing, right? It's just a melee beat stick.
So Torin is not like out of the box playable, if you will. Like, there were several newer players in the tournament, and like, I really think Krognar and Torin are the two higher skill cap affiliations. Like, they do things that other affiliations just don't do. So I think Torin can actually be really, really good. It's just not a pick. It should not probably be anyone's first affiliation, right? But once you understand the game, I think you can then really understand how to unlock, life tap for extra damage. Like, the game is based on the fact that X model can only do X amount of damage. Ooh, what if for one turn you could do more? And I think it's really strong. But again, you need to know when and how and where to use it. So I think they're at one due to small sample size of the tournament. And they will probably never be like the most taken, but, I don't think Torin's a problem. I'm probably wrong.
Who was third on the list?
Gruul.
Gruul was the third least taken.
Yeah, there we go.
Gruul. Okay. I don't think there's any problem with Gruul.
I
think their models are outstanding.
I think their EP is very lackluster.
I would agree. And I think
for sure, with the map the way it is, with these open spaces and there's nowhere really to be.
Mm-hmm.
That is a problem. I mean, if the maps changed, I think that it could be really good.
Okay. It's pretty good on a couple of the maps. I think the bigger problem is that I think, if I remember correctly, they have the least model count of all the other gods.
Gruul?
I think so.
Maybe. But their models are pretty good.
Yes, the models are very good.
Their models are baller, man.
But I think... Gendris is kind of needed to turn that engine, and if you ban her, I think it's just a problem.
Okay,
I could be wrong. I've not played a ton of it, but I know that when I did play it and she got banned, it sucked. It was really bad. And maybe it's just because I didn't know how to work my way out of it. But
so of the group of people that showed up, they spent a lot of money to go to Chicago, travel, bring all your shit. It's all painted. Of that group of people that played in this tournament, there was like 22.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
Yes.
So 22. Those are the lowest three.
Uh-huh.
So it's an interesting sample size. I think it's interesting. But it's definitely not the end all be alls aside from, you know, gosh, they need to do something so people choose them, whether they're strong or not, like just for variety's sake.
Sure. It is concerning, but not overly so. It's one data point.
Yeah.
But I do think the god breakdown is reflective of, for the most part, power level. And I would not like to see such a skew repeated at the same rate. Let's put it that way.
We don't want to see half Krognar, half, you know, Breland at the championship stuff LVO. Like, that would be boring as fuck.
Maybe from an outside perspective. I mean, I played Krognar in the final, and I had a great time. So I don't know that mirror matches are bad for the game. So. But yes, ideally, you'd like to see a better mix and representation.
Yeah, I don't like what it says to the outside world.
Sure.
Like, you're like, oh, I want to take a list from there, and they're all playing the same list. It's like, well, kind of. Not really, but kind of.
Well, so like the top 10, for example, it's Krognar, Breland, 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 Krognar, Krognar, Ista, Krognar, Krognar.
Shut your mouth. Shut up. 14
of 22 were Krognar, Breland, so it's kind of hard for those not to be in the top 10.
Yeah, yes, so shut up.
14 of 22 is way too much for what should have been 7.5.
Right.
Oh, man.
I'm just throwing it out there. Pick it up, put it down. I don't throw it back. I don't know. I'm just saying. When you start seeing that, that's where my radar kind of perks up a little bit. I'm like, okay, so why is this happening? Why do we see this? And we see no Tomas. I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a data point that is, for variety's sake, important. You know, rating one versus another is another whole different thing. Aaron, what else is on your list of things we should talk about?
I have 9 of them.
You have 9?
Okay, yep. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Kenny. So I, again, think Ista is a little overtuned. And not Ista specifically, but the healing synergy that a typical Ista list can put on the table is stupid. And individually, like, heal 3 is fine, heal 3. But when you combine it all together, it is not very interactive to play with or against. Your thoughts having played Ista in the tournament?
The healing might be, it's probably a little much. Like I said, there was 2 instances in the same game where I had Brock and Thorgar down to like under 3 health. And in a turn and a half, they were back up to almost full. I think in Thorgar's case, because he had regen, he was back to full. In that same game, Dawnregar was down to 2 or 3 health at one point and healed all the way back up to full. That could potentially be a problem because the healing that you have. So you've got regen. Saiyan, I was moving models towards Saiyan after I recalled them, who was kind of in the back of the line anyway, because when she activated, she healed the models. Isabel heals models. Lorabella heals models. I think, and then you have the resto potion, which heals a model 10. I think that could potentially be very good, or not. I mean, it is very good. I think it could potentially be a little over the top, but I don't know yet. I'm still playing around with it because there are times like when I played Fabius, I was healing that same amount and it just didn't matter. He continued to step on my throat, and there was nothing I could do. And I healed a bunch that game as well, and I pulled out all the stops, and there was still not a lot I could do about it.
Overpowered. I hear what you're saying.
It's not Victor, so pump
breaks. Overpowered.
It's
next.
It's not Victor, or okay. You know, Krognar. Overpowered.
Number 2. How many games did you play, Lorabella?
I played 2.
And in those two games, do you think she is overtuned? Yes or no?
And you're really putting on the spot on this one. Just a straight out yes or no?
Move on.
Rapid fire.
Yes.
Okay. You're no longer dead to me.
It hurt okay to say it, but yes.
We will. It stings the nostrils.
It did.
Yeah. We'll come back to that in a later episode. Okay. I think the same thing about Domhnargar, having played him in four straight games. That model needs a nerf. That yes model is stupid.
He was my MVP. We talked about that. We started to hit that. Domhnargar was fucking stupid for me. He did, like I said, he didn't do a whole lot of damage. I charged a model, like him and Brock charged the same model against Corey. And he did 5 damage. First off, a tank doing 5 damage. He probably shouldn't do that.
I think it should be 4.
It probably should be 4. But then when you walk up to a model and you Stoneform Stonegrasp, you can't knock me down. You can't push me. You can push yourself, but you need an extra combat maneuver. Stoneform
just needs to get to be +1/-1, not +2/-2.
Yes, but the negative is, and I guess you just have to, and this is what I think why a lot of people are putting Brock in their rosters, because of the molten metal.
If the answer to one of my models is only one model in the game, that's a problem.
I don't disagree with you.
So anyway, we can talk about that later. Number 4, mental exhaustion. So I used to play War Machine up until Mark 4, and there would be War Machine tournaments where at the end of almost every game, I would just feel completely drained physically, mentally, emotionally, because you're thinking about so many different things, angles and abilities and counter abilities. I have not had that same feeling since I started playing MCP competitively. I don't know why, but there's just apparently not as many different things to consider in MCP. But man, after games 3 and 4 of that tournament, I had that feeling and I was like, what is this feeling? I was like, oh, this is what it is. I love that feeling. So yes, this game is definitely scratching that itch of pouring all of my mental energy into it, and I love it.
I was exhausted. So we got in Wednesday, played a game. I played 5 rounds on Saturday or Friday, 4 really, really long rounds on Saturday in MCP. Then I played Judgment. By the time I got to Judgment, I was already fried. Like, I was going off by myself. There were times where I would put my headphones in so I could get away from the loud noise and go. And I went and sat outside, or I went and sat somewhere for 10 minutes just to get away. And I didn't want to, like, I wanted to spend at least 10 minutes between every round talking to no one so I could be by myself. Because, and I think it's, so, like I said, I'm newer to cons than you guys are. I think it's the loud noise. I think standing in one of those rooms and the constant white noise of a background, I think, kind of fucks me up. And I don't know how to get out of that.
I hate it.
And maybe this is something that eventually I will get over. This is my 3rd con. I don't know if I consider Warfare, because it was kind of out in the same breath of the LVO or this one.
It's a con.
But the white noise of standing in a room with, 1,000 people? And everybody, and you have to be loud so that the other person can hear you. And if the other person's quiet, you have to ask them to repeat it multiple times. And just the white noise of 2 hours of sensory, whatever you want to call it, it fucked me up. And I felt like at some point, somebody would say, "Hey, how's it going?" I'm like, "Hey," and I would just walk off. And I'm like, "Was I an asshole?" I was probably an asshole, because I wanted to be by myself for 10, 15 minutes. And it's something that I'm going to try to get used to. But if you've never been to a con before, or if you're, or you want to go to a con, I don't want this to scare people from that, because it's an experience. It's a fucking experience, and I had a good time. I don't want to shortchange any of that. But I think it is important to spend 10, 15 minutes every hour or two by yourself, not talking to anyone, just reset.
Hey, Jeremy, did you feel a difference in your mental state, mainly between when you were playing War Machine, MCP, and Judgment?
Absolutely. I'm with you. We discussed this a little bit. The ability to look at the board state as a whole, put things together for the next turn or two, and solve puzzles on the tabletop that are very rewarding after you accomplish or fail or whatever, is just phenomenal. I missed that so much, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until playing in the fives. The threes didn't have it as much. Again, like I said, I just kind of blasted my way through that, and I was playing Krognar for the first time. But in the fives, like all the noise and all the stuff for me during a tournament game where you hit the clock and say go, like I'm very focused in, and that's why when people talk to me when I'm in the middle of a game I'm trying to actually play, I'll snap. Like I'm like, dude, get the fuck off me, bro. But I'm very focused, and then at the end, I am absolutely exhausted. After this con, I took off Monday, and I didn't get out of bed until 3 p.m., which is not me. I didn't eat, and I just sat there, and I was like, you know what? I have today off. I don't have my kids. I'm laying in bed. I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, it is draining. It's very, very draining. But so, like, just getting that feeling back from a game that you loved, like, I was very War Machine. Like, that was my life for 10 years, 12 years maybe. And finding that in this game is very, very cool.
Cool. My next comment is on the community. I was very impressed with the community. Not that I wasn't expecting to be, but it's always nice not to be disappointed. I did not meet a single person that I didn't like. really happy to be part of the Judgment community. I think I can be a little brash at times, and I expect people to be brash back to me, and that's okay. So we'll see how people reacted to me, but I really enjoyed everyone I met. What about you guys?
I liked everyone except Kenny, honestly.
Yeah, but you already
something about Kenny is just, he's just upsetting. The community, like, for those that have gone from different communities to different communities, like, it's amazing to have a group of people that's doing the dumb thing you're doing that nobody else in your life knows anything about or understands. And we're part of an amazing community that was very welcoming and wanted to talk about the shit that we liked. And it was just really cool. I didn't meet it. I didn't run into anybody that wasn't awesome.
No, I mean, everybody I ran into was awesome. I'm sure. I can't think of any interaction that I had with anybody that was negative in any way.
Right.
Everybody was awesome. Very nice.
Yep. But, and again, I didn't expect to, but it was just nice to have that confirmed. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when I talked about changing my list, I had three people offering me models. I was like, I didn't want to, was kind of.
They don't know about your oafish hands.
I'm sure they do now. I'm sure
they don't know about your hot dog punch fingers.
And like I said, shout out to Wonky. He let me borrow his model. I treated it with baby gloves.
Did you give him back all the parts?
I gave him back an entire model. I handed it to him with the base on my palm with another hand on top. And I just kind of held it out to him and said, you can take it from me.
Gently.
Yes, very gently. And then once it's out of my hands, I slap them together. Yeah, okay. Now I can punch stuff and we're good.
Okay, next on the list. Were there any con giveaways?
Yes. I don't know what I did with mine. What do they call those little... So they gave out monsters.
Chibi.
They gave out chibi monsters. And it was the Kunuk Mara, Terra... What was the other one?
Fujasha. It's the three that don't come in the core set.
Yeah, and I thought that was awesome. I got it, and I was weirdly happy about it. I got it. I was like, oh my god, these are so cute. I'm like, those little things. I was happy to get it. I did not expect it. I was super happy to get it.
Jeremy, you go ahead.
No, they're just very cool. I don't have anything to say about it. It's pretty much they're neat.
Okay. I don't usually like the chibi aesthetic. However, these models are pretty cute. And I really appreciate the fact that there are some models that you can use that are more than just a 2D token, in a game, right? So if you wanted to expand your collection and not write, Kunuk Mara on a clear acrylic token, you can use this small Kunuk Mara in lieu of a larger one. So I think they're cute, and I think it's a great way to be able to grow the game before you can afford to get all of the appropriately sized monsters.
Yeah, not everybody is as crazy as us and drops silly amounts of money.
Yep.
Fives of dollars.
Fives. Next, health tracking. We have talked about this at length. I just want to give a big shout out to, again, the community. I saw a bunch of different ways tracking people were tracking health. I don't think there needs to be a specific way people do it, right? As long as you can track your health in a way that, first and foremost, you understand, and secondarily, I hope that I can understand, it's good. So we saw people using the D10s. I think Jeremy saw people using D6s next to each other. So if they had 15 health, it'd be a 6, a 6, and a 3. And I think he said that was a very easy to understand. So anyways, kind of give a shout out to people and their unique solutions to how to play this game.
Yep, I didn't see anything that was bad. The only things that I dislike about health tracking, there's only really two. It's a D20, because I can't see it, especially if somebody gets like I like this color, but I can't see it across the table. Or the little health tracking gadget, widget, whatever you want to call it.
Dials.
The dials that are recessed, because I can't see they're recessed. And they're small, they're recessed, I can't see them at all. And I don't want there to ever be a position where I say, well, what's the hell of that model? I misremember, or they don't tell me correctly. They tell me the wrong model, they miss here, whatever. There's some sort of confusion. I'm not saying anybody's going to cheat me. And then it brings up a point of contention. Those are the only two that I dislike. Mm-hmm. Everything else was fine. Like writing on them, like I always liked my tried and true writing on directly onto the card. I still like to do it, but the D10s are probably the best way to do it in the tray.
So going to the D10s in the tray, this is what was interesting. I thought we found our perfect solution with the trays and the D10s and stuff. And what I found is with the D10s, because my head, like I was involved in the game and all of a sudden I get damaged and I have to look down and kind of like roll these dice around and get it to the right number. And it just kind of like, it started annoying me. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like irritating. So I stopped doing it. Like I started using the, so I use a combination now of that tray and I just write the numbers on the chips that I use. And that method works great for me. And I think my opponents can see them great and everything. And I can also track like health and levels or the levels and stuff on the tray. But it's interesting in that I thought that was going to be the best way for me. And I found like a combination that is perfect for me. Like it's just a me thing. I don't like fumbling with dice and taking the time to do all that bullshit when it's just like, just wipe off, go, 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 go.
I'm thinking about going back to writing onto the card.
And I use the dice now for the health of monsters. So I use the dice for everything. It works out just fine, but yeah.
Okay. Next
question.
One is table terrain setup. So there are Adepticon and Wonky did a little different than we're doing it locally. Like they played every round with the same map, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas locally, when we run ours, we're going to have various maps set up that you'll then rotate through. I want to say that our way that we're going to be doing it still makes the most sense combining competitive balance with efficiency of cost, really, because we don't have to produce as much terrain to have. And this is really for 3D terrain, right? You don't need 3 portals times 8 maps. I don't need 24 portals. I only need like 7. And so it cuts down on our cost to be able to produce, paint the terrain, and have it ready. However, I do want to give a shout out to... I don't know who's responsible. I don't know whether it's Wonky or Creature Caster or Gunmice. I don't know who made the decision. However, I still think the way they did it is the most competitively fair way, if that's your focus. I don't think it took too much time to set up in between rounds. And what I really think it did was it allowed people to give feedback based on the maps that every single person just played on. For instance, the Dorgacon spawning or other monsters spawning, and maybe that map's problematic. Well, they didn't just have one person play on it once and say, hey, this was a problem. They had everyone play with it at the same time. So I just wanted to highlight the differences and kind of give them a kudos to some of the strengths behind why the decision that they made.
I understand. Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, I definitely didn't see a benefit. I was kind of irritated that they didn't do it the way we do it. And then all of a sudden, when all of us were complaining at the same time, like Adorgacon blew your base up too. And we're like, yeah. And then several of us kind of got together and we were talking with Wonky about it. And the only way to create a situation like that is to have everyone doing it at the same time. It just worked that way, and it was a really great way to stress test them all at the same time. Go ahead, Kenny.
I actually liked the way they did it more than the way we do it. I liked that all of the maps were the same. I felt that it's probably the most fair. Granted, it's expensive. Well, I mean, we had to have how many sets of terrain? What, 11 different sets of terrain that are all the same? So you had to have on some of those maps 3 portals or 11 tables. That's not ideal and probably unsustainable, but I did like it. So I'm on the other side of that.
Okay. Again, I agree that it is the best way. I am still very comfortable with what we're doing because, like, we would have to increase our tournament costs, like, to actually cover that. Do I want to pay more money for the next 2 years? No. So, again, I'm going to I agree with you completely. I'll just stop talking. And the last one is going to be a critique. Judgment uses souls and levels as the two tiebreaks. And I strongly disagree with that tiebreak system without, like, getting actually upset about it. I believe strength of schedule is the most fair tiebreak when you start getting to tournaments that are above 12 to 16 players. There's enough differentiation between strength of schedule, and Longshanks has fixed what used to be a War Machine problem of drops. So instead of just counting opponent wins, it factors in buys and drops. So you're not punished when someone you played drops. It uses their average wins as opposed to total wins and divides by the number of games. So since there's a way to incorporate strength of schedule without punishing people whose opponents drop, I'm not sure why you ever, in any game system, wouldn't use that as your first tiebreaker. Secondarily, I hate souls as the next tiebreaker. For instance, in my last game, my opponent was up 4-3. About to win the game, greater than 50%, I pull it out, I kill someone with two souls, and then I win 5-2. So was a 5-2 reflective of that game state? Not really. Souls aren't the actual thing you're trying to do in the game. What you're trying to do in the game is reduce your opponent's effigy's health. Souls are a means to that end. Well, okay, if we're going to view gameplay, how close you got to achieving victory as the tiebreaker, well then, what it should really be is 20 minus opponent's effigy health. So if you have 4 souls, you would get 16 points, right? The winner would get 20. And I would even go so far as to say that you should get 20 minus the lowest health your opponent's effigy was ever at. So say, for instance, you're doing what I'm going to call a Mulga dive, which is you get 2 souls and then you send Brock in to kill the effigy. And you leave it on 1. Well, you got really close to winning that game, but maybe your opponent then, you know, healed the effigy to full, killed your guys, and they end up winning 5-2 or 5-0, right? Well, shouldn't you be rewarded for how close you came to achieving victory? So in that scenario, you would get 19 points, right? In this theoretical world where you use, you know, lowest health the effigy ever got. So I don't know. So first of all, I think strength of schedule should be number 1. And second of all, I think something should be done that's not just pure souls for the next level. And then thirdly, levels doesn't really interact with how well you were doing. It really just comes down to how long did the game go on for.
Yeah.
So I really hate the tiebreaker systems that they have right now, and those are my thoughts on it overall. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the levels is definitely not an inclination of anything. Especially, I mean, you could be playing a new player. So that's what this creates, is the new player getting whack-a-mole for fucking an hour, where you grind out their fucking levels and max out on that, and then you win the game later. It's just silly. I don't think it means anything. Like you say, I think it means that the game took fucking forever, which means it was a good game, perhaps.
Yeah, you can get to a spot where you're farming levels, right? Because I think I had one game where I had 13 levels, and I didn't intentionally farm those levels. It just kind of happened, and I thought, well, that's odd. And then I had another game where I had 8.
Some of this stuff is really byproducts of the game, I think, is what we're getting at here. I mean, if they're a byproduct of playing a long, good game, that's fine, but they should not be tie breaks, especially because the flip-flop mechanic of souls. Like, you don't keep them. I mean, you can be right on the edge, and then you lose them.
I think you have to have tie breaks. Now, what those tie breaks are...
strength of schedule. That's number one.
Right. So, strength of schedule, I will not disagree with strength of schedule. I will push back on the soul piece a little bit, because I don't... I mean, what's your second tie... Like, you eventually have to have a tiebreaker. Like, so, for example, there are...
Time left on your clock.
Okay. I guess.
I'm serious. You won, and you won faster.
All right.
In this game, absolutely.
Maybe. I just don't.
I mean, it's a possibility,
right? Right. There were several 3-1s, several 2-2s. So, how do you do a tiebreaker for like 3-1? Who took third? Do you do straight up souls? Do you do strength of schedule? And then you, if you have the same strength of schedule, then you do souls. I don't know if you can do effigy dives, because then, or points on effigy, or lowest points on effigy. I'm not sure if that is something that you can. I don't personally like it, and maybe it's because I have not seen it. I think it just creates a different problem. And if you get down to levels, like your tiebreaker by levels, at that point you might as well just flip a coin. I mean that's just kind of the way that I see it, but again, you're like, I'm looking at the standings right now. Robbie took third, for example, 3-1
based on levels.
He got two more levels than Fabius did,
who got one more level than Corey. So third, fourth, and fifth went down to the second tiebreak of levels.
Correct. And is there a better way to do that in this game? I don't know. I don't know. Because at that point, you're going to have to start handing out cards. Like, you were talking about time. You're going to start handing out cards, and then every player's going to have to put their time down. And for every game.
Why not? Well, an option in fucking Longshanks.
Yeah, it would need to be an option to just input quickly. We're not tracking stuff game to game. You're just inputting Longshanks and going. But I guarantee that could be put into Longshanks. Mm-hmm. Now, I think all of this is mostly moot if you go to strength of schedule as the first tie break.
Yeah,
I think strength of schedule is where it should be. And a game that doesn't have strength of schedule for that, I think is making a mistake.
Okay, so we all agree on that. I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. That's the best way to do it. And every game system that I've played, strength of schedule is, it's win-loss strength of schedule. Those are your tiebreakers. After that, you might as well flip a fucking coin. Because who fucking knows? MCP's got the same thing. It's strength of schedule. It's win-loss, strength of schedule. And what was the other one? What was the last one for MCP?
Victory point scored.
Victory point. Yeah, fuck off. At that point, I'm assuming I'm going to get fucked if it gets to that level.
So. Right. As a point of comparison, like the main MCP event came down to a bunch of 3-1s, and two of them made top cuts. That was determined based on strength of schedule. It did not have to go past that. So strength of schedule will usually have enough granularity in a large enough event to differentiate between your rankings. At some point, they were tied strength of schedule, but again, we'll see who has any pull and wants to listen to this cast and make a change.
Yeah,
I know. The three people out there will be like, yeah, they're right. Or fuck those guys. They're dumb. That's okay. There's only three of you.
I'm assuming that anybody that listens immediately takes anything that I say and just chucks it right out the window.
Only if they're smart.
Yeah, I hear that, guys.
Do we have anything else?
You ban Victor every time. You're not smart.
So for those that got a model from Sunny, thank you very much for that. I did not. No thanks.
Yes. Thanks, Sunny. I did get a model. I also handed out, and I think we all handed out tokens, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did.
FPG power tokens, yeah.
So with that, I think that'll wrap up our Adepticon episode. That's certainly not everything. If we think of something, we'll let you know. Again, a lot of our games are going to be on YouTube soon. They were recorded. If you were on a camera... keep hitting up Discord and checking out when we're going to do it. I would say harass Mutilus and say, hey, put these videos up. We want to see them. So he'll do that. I will not be watching any of them. That's not what I do. I don't care about that. Once it's gone, I blink like a goldfish and it's fucking over. So whatever. But hopefully everyone enjoys that. Again, that's our Adepticon wrap-up. Yep. It's been Jeremy.
Special shout out to Wonky, though, for running it and putting in a lot of hard work. And how he's running all over the place. He did a great job.
Amen.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Right on. All right. Sign out again. It's been Jeremy.
It's Kenny.
And Aaron.
Peace out.